Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Airway First, the podcast from the Children's Airway First Foundation. I'm your host, Rebecca St. James. In today's episode, our parent liaison, Christy Bojinkian, will be chatting with Claire Duke, a myofunctional therapist and occupational therapist. Before receiving her training in myofunctional therapy, Claire served the adult population as an occupational therapist. Having a child with an airway issue ignited her passion in this space and her desire to help kids in their futures. Claire believes that sleep and breathing are the cornerstones of health for any child, and she is particularly passionate about early intervention and the role that oral facial dysfunction plays in a child's behavior, sensory system, health, immunity, allergies, and cognitive development. If you want to hear more about Claire in her own words and her story with herself and her daughter and their airway journey, you can check out our blog, Our Airway Journey with Sleep Disordered Breathing, Mystery to Passion, on our website. And now let's jump into the interview with Christy and today's guest, Claire Duke.
So welcome, Claire. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we get into it, before you got into your airway journey, can you tell me about your practice as an occupational therapist?
Yeah, sure. So I've worked 13 years with adults who have mental health diagnoses, and mostly that's people with psychotic illnesses, so schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disorder, and people that hear voices. And, it was teaching a lot of everyday living skills sort of stuff. So the practical day-to-day stuff that we all take for granted, some of these people were in homes for much of their life or in jail for much of their life. So it was just about retraining some of those life skills. So that's sort of what I was doing prior to, over the last little probably year and a half when life took a rather large turn. And I'm still doing some of that mental health adult work. So that's certainly, an area that I still very much love. I've ventured elsewhere because for a very long time, our son was a mystery to many specialists out there. He wasn't a very well child. He had, what I can see now is lots of red flags for airway. He had things like he was a late bedwetter. He was irritable. We couldn't figure out why. He used to yawn quite a lot. He'd have trouble sitting. He would be on prednisone quite a lot to try to control his asthma. He had some sensory issues as well, which we're trying to figure out, does he have sensory processing disorder? Does he have ADHD? He had a lot of these kind of issues. Teachers were reporting that he was having some meltdowns at school, wasn't quite coping at school. Also had some oral tics, so some unusual, behaviors with his mouth or making kind of vocal sounds, shoulder shrugging, these sorts of things, which is quite an interesting area. And frequent wake-ups as well. So he, looking back now, I can see there's lots of things there that kind of scream, this is an airway child, he needs some help with his sleep and his breathing. But back then he was really a mystery to, we had 7 specialists in a year period. I remember it was 2 sleep doctors, 2 ENTs, we had two pediatricians, and an allergist, so at least 7 different specialists.
So what kind
they were all,
who did you go see first and what kind of spurred you to get
It would have been the pediatrician first, I'd say. And he sent us for a sleep study, which was, ended up being helpful in the long run, but it didn't show that there was any major concerns with our son's sleep. Yeah, which I know now can happen, and I really,
So tough. It's like
and I
we're
really
starting
sorry.
on the right direction, but not all the way there.
That's right. And a little side note, I don't want parents, I think parents, if you are getting your sleep study, that's amazing. And parents really should, but don't let that be the be all and end all of your journey of trying to figure out what's wrong with your child. Because, a little side note, I guess, story about what happened to us was he had the sleep study. And I've got it here, so I'm not sure if you can see these. This is his CO2 numbers. You probably can't see that. But anyways, they're numbers such as like 49, 52, 48, 47, 47. So a child's CO2 is meant to be around 35. But there's one in there where the machine was off. And so it was a zero and it skewed the whole score, right? So the clues were there, but because of the way some sleep studies are read, this then presented as a child that didn't have any issues with CO2. So it wasn't until later down the track that I asked for the raw data and had a look at it myself, that I could see there was gaps there. So sleep studies are amazing to help create a picture of what's going on. But they're certainly not the be all end all, to figure out what's going on.
Definitely, yeah. And we will have a upcoming episode doing like a tour of a sleep lab too, so parents can get a little familiar. And then, yeah, of course, definitely who is interpreting the data is going to make a big difference too.
Yes, yes. And then his second sleep study, because we went to see another sleep doctor because he was yawning all the time. He was just in that mild range of sleep apnea. And what I know now is that even though a child might present as having mild symptoms, it certainly doesn't correlate to how that plays out in their life and how they're, even if it's only a couple of wake-ups per hour, that's going to majorly affect every system in the child's life. So, also if it's just a mild sleep apnea, to take that quite seriously as well.
Definitely,
Yeah.
yes. Okay. After seeing the specialist and stuff, how did you kind of get into the airway world, and where did you first hear about it and
Sure.
start going down the rabbit hole?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a couple of golden nugget clues, I call them. And the first one was our second ENT said, let's get his adenoids out. Let's reduce his turbinates in his nose, which is our sixth filtration system in our nose. And that really helped. That really helped. We thought, oh, he's less irritable. He's yawning less. He's growing now. This is done. Great. Our child's thriving now, not just surviving. And we also, the second kind of gold nugget clue I would say was that we got his allergies under control using a it's graded exposure. It's a spray you put under their tongue. It's like a 3-year course, and it just gets that child used to their allergens. For our kid, it's dust mites, and animals, and that really helped as well. So these are two clues along the way that let us know that this was kind of an airway issue, but it wasn't resolving everything. He was still having a lot of these symptoms, still having the oral tics and sensory stuff, ADHD symptoms, irritable, all this sort of thing. So
And how old was
whilst though he was, this was between 3.5 and 5.5. And we thought, okay, this is, we'll take this. This is pretty good. And then symptoms started to come back a little bit. The dark circles under the eyes and a lot of the other symptoms that I mentioned started to return. And we just couldn't figure it out. And he really was a mystery to all these specialists. They were checking him for autoimmune disease or diabetes, parasites, all these sorts of treatments that kind of weren't working. And, looking back now, they all had the best of intention, all these specialists. They wanted to help and they were trying to help, but they weren't kind of looking at the full picture of what was going on. And like you say on your podcast, you don't know what you don't know. But I, looking back, I thank them for their help along the way to help us try to figure it out. Our world really cracked open a year and a half ago. I'd say it was April 2023 when life really changed for us. I saw a video from Dr. Marielle, who is an occupational therapist and an orofacial myofunctional therapist. So orofacial, mouth and face, myofunctional, how the muscles work, and therapist. And my jaw dropped to the ground. She was describing what we were going through. She was describing an airway child. She was describing a sleep disordered child. I remember just sitting on the floor of his bedroom and watching this video, and wow, this was like this was the an you know this had to be the
Yeah,
answer.
what you've been
And
looking for.
yeah, that's right. It was just this absolute pull to look into this. And I watched it again the next day. It was 30 minutes, and the next day, and was just, thinking, I need to really investigate this. So, steps after that was I took some free Zooms, some free Zoom calls. So with Dr. Marielle, with Dr. Mark Levi and his team, who are leaders in the pack here in Australia for airway and sleep disorder breathing stuff for kids. And, as a parent, I would definitely recommend doing that, taking those free calls, trying to learn as much as you can. Instagram was also a really great resource for learning. There's so much going on there, isn't there?
Love
It's such a,
it.
yeah. There's so many passionate people on there, and
Yeah, just
I've,
sharing their wisdom, including
yeah.
you.
Yeah, that's right. And the funny thing along the way is you learn so many of these passionate people are parents of kids that have airway issues, or they've got airway issues themselves, which, as we know, is a huge percentage of the population. And now they're trying to get the word out there, and I feel like it's slowly coming out. So after this, we got our child in an expander, which is, there's a few pieces to our puzzle, and having his adenoids and turbinates out, it's a big thing that helped. Having the immunotherapy, which is the graded exposure under the tongue for allergies, really helped. Nasal sprays along the way really helped. But one of the biggest things was a palate expander for us. This, and I could talk all day about this process, how it went and how I tolerated it well. We were seeing results. We were seeing good outcomes within a month of active expansion. So as scary as it sounds, having a bulky thing in your kid's mouth, to parents, I would say, give it a go. Give it a go. So I wrote down some measures when he got it in. So when he got his palate expander in, I thought, I just want to measure this. I want to write down what we're having issues with and recheck it, because I don't want to be putting this time, energy, our emotional resources, everything into a treatment that may or may not work. So I feel like I can go through.
How old
He
is
was five.
he? 5 and a half.
He was 5 and a half, so that was 15 months ago, 14 months ago from
And how do you
now.
kind of prep him for the expander and
That was the hard part, getting him in the chair. Getting him in the chair was the hard part, because he was a sensory kid. He didn't like things, creams, band-aids, haircuts. He didn't like socks with no seam, socks with seams, like pants with seams, all these sorts of things. That's all resolved now, I'm happy to say. But we had to just try to bribe him. That sounds, it is what it is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
big
Yeah.
reward.
Exactly. We had to say, do you want the biggest Lego from the shop? He kicked the seat the whole way there. It was really terrible. I took my hubby. But when he saw it, he was like, oh, okay. We made it red, which is a little snippet, a little side note against parents. Which he thought was amazing because it looked like blood. So he could open his mouth and go, ah, and scare. My mouth's bleeding, ah, and show his
Oh
friends. So I highly recommend
that's
choosing the color red.
yeah.
The possible factor. Getting it in the mouth was easy. He sat up and was like, ah, oh, sit here. And then he quite liked it. I don't know. Maybe it was all the attention he got. Maybe it was the video games that he was allowed to play afterwards. Lots of ice cream for the next few days, all those sorts of tricks to do what you have to do as a parent.
Right. Yeah, make it a great experience. Love
Exactly right.
the Yeah.
Anything to get it in, because I tell you what, within it was less, it was we had it in there for 2 weeks before they started to actively turn it. So it was really 2 weeks after actively expanding him that we started to see these symptoms of a child that could breathe. And some of it was quite physical as well. He used to sleep in hyperextension, so his neck up, mouth open. There's photos I've got on my Instagram of that, so parents can visually see what that looks like. But so we got it in June, and these measures I've got here, September I did measures again, so August, so about 4 months later, and his bedwetting. So in June it was about once a week. In September, from June, he'd only wet the bed once. His ability to sit went from 10 minutes in June to 40 minutes in September. Yawns on our drive to school, which is a 20-minute trip in June before Expander, was about 8 yawns in that 20 minutes. In September, it was 2 yawns. Needing prednisone. So he needed prednisone about every 2 to 3 months prior to his Expander. He hasn't needed it since. So that's 15 months of no prednisone. Has he had asthma, terrible asthma? Yes, a lot less, a lot less. We've only needed his puffers. There's been no oral steroids needed, which is a huge change. He's able to, so as of September, he was able to tolerate baths. He was able to tolerate Band-Aids. Seams in pants, in socks, didn't worry him anymore. He used to have a rash around his mouth pretty much monthly. That was totally resolved as of September, and we haven't seen that back since. His school report cards, because it's nice to, as a parent, you can see these things, but it's also nice to get that objective measure from somebody else. And his school report, they were quite different, they're really different. They noted in there the teachers, big change from last term. So it's not just, it's nice to get that. It's reaffirming to be like, okay, not just us that are noticing this. His tics, his oral tics, whilst they're still there occasionally, they're not constantly rotating now. They come up when he has a cold. So he's had a cold this week, and so we've had a little bit more of some unusual mouth noises. He used to wake up 9:30 every night. He'd be awake. Wake up again about 12:30. That totally resolves. He'll sleep through the night now. His irritability was a hard one to measure, but that definitely went down. He's a really happy child now. Shyness at the park, all these sort of measures that you can capture because they're numbers. We're really reaffirming that we're on the right path.
So is he still in expansion now, or?
He is, yeah. He's still in expansion now, so we're not at the end of our journey. After this, We've got to start working on the muscles of his mouth and get those to work properly, because at the moment he's got the expander in, so getting that tongue up to that top palate is not really happening for him. So it is still blocking his airway. Sometimes at night his tongue is still, and he's got quite a small pharyngeal, so the back throat kind of area. So we're still got a way to go, but he's definitely an improved child, and just happier and less sick, much less sick, way, way less sick. He's still an asthma kid, so he still takes longer to get better and those sorts of things, but he's a lot better. So I guess after we started to see all these measures, I was like, oh, this is I need to do this. This is amazing. This everyone needs to know about this. And I remember having, and I still have all this passion for it. So I rang, I just tried to connect myself with some people out there in this space. And one of the people I rang was Dr. Mark Levi, who's a craniofacial sleep and airway guru. And I just said, I cold called him out of nowhere and just said, I've got all this passion. I don't know where to put it. I don't know what to do with it. I'm just ringing people. And he was kind enough to match that passion. I guess, he's a very passionate fellow, and has let me go into his office and work with an amazing OMT, orofacial-myofunctional therapist, Robin Ann, who is there, and look in all these little mouths and start really learning, start talking to the parents that are there, start learning how all the face works and the muscles and the lip, how important lip seal is and tongue up. And I went on to do a myofunctional therapy course and become qualified in that. And it was just interesting hearing from other parents. There's a heap of children that are seen in that office, and the parents are just saying the same things. Their kids are finding school easier. Bedwetting's going, ADHD symptoms are getting less. And it's the same story being told. And that is also really reaffirming that it's not just us. This is out there. This is helping kids. This is helping parents. There's not one parent that I've spoken to in that office or in my own private practice now that is not seeing good results from looking into this airway space. With their child.
Yeah, that's amazing. So let's want to talk a little bit more about how, yeah, your career has shifted kind of into the airway space.
Sure. So I just started to really look into airway and sleep for kids and for adults. And I guess that I started to look at my adult mental health people that I was working with as well. And I can see, now when I go and do therapy with them and work with them, I'm asking more questions. I'm seeing them with kind of airway eyes now, I guess, and I'm able to see all these overbites, underbites, misalignments, asking them about their sleep. And so many adults with mental health diagnoses have airway and sleep issues. So it's definitely made me rethink a little bit about what I do. And I know mental health is absolutely multifactorial. You've got childhood experiences, you've got your environment, you've got your things that happen to you, you've got addictions, you've got your inner resilience, all that sort of thing that make it a very complicated area. But I just kind of wonder now, and I think back to a man that died by suicide a year ago, and again looking at his funeral book with airway eyes, I could see these photos of this lovely, beautiful man, and he had gummy smile, and he had the really long changed kind of skull of what's happening to us now as a human species. Where not wide with all this airway
Yeah.
now getting longer, narrower,
Right.
and affecting our airway. And I could see all these things, all these sort of red flag visible signs with him, crooked teeth. And I asked somebody in a kind of delicate way that knew him well about his sleep. And yes, he had ADHD diagnosed as a child. He didn't sleep very well. He spoke about that often and all these other kind of things. And it just makes me think, would the trajectory of some of these people's lives have gone a different way had they have got the help they needed when they were children with their sleep, with their
Yeah.
breathing? It may not have made any difference, but now it's just in the back of my thought, in the back of my mind. I'm really shifting my focus to let's go in early, let's get early intervention into these people, and trying to make a change. So I'm slowly shifting from adult mental health into kids' airway, because when you see it, you can't unsee it. And when you've lived it and see the benefits and hearing stories from parents that are also seeing the benefits, it's, you can't kind of, you can't look away now.
You can find out more about the Children's Airway First Foundation and our mission to fix before six on our website at childrensairwayfirst.org. The CAF website offers tons of great resources for both parents and medical professionals. Visit our Parents Portal, Clinicians Corner, Resource Center, and Video Library to see for yourself. We also encourage parents to join the Airway Huddle, our Facebook support group, which was created for parents of children with airway and sleep-related issues. You can access the Airway Huddle support group at facebook.com/groups/airwayhuddle. As a reminder, this podcast and the opinions expressed here are not a medical diagnosis. If you suspect your child might have an airway issue, contact your pediatric airway dentist or pediatrician. And now, let's jump back into today's episode.
And I think, I love that you guys have that fix before six. I think that's such a great motto, because as an OT, so much learning consolidation goes on before six in a child's brain. So many neural pathways are being laid down. That's when they're meeting or not meeting some of their social milestones or their just general milestones. And you want a child to be using their energy on, their cognition and figuring out their executive functioning sort of things. So like memory and sequencing and putting their energy towards all of these learning kind of aspects of their life and then the neural pathways, instead of just trying to breathe and survive.
Right, yeah, not just
Yeah.
getting by.
Yeah, that's right. And also before six, they're so malleable. You can really make changes in that time. It's 80% of their craniofacial growth is done by the age five or six or something like that. So
Yeah, such a big
that's the time.
out during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the time to really get in there. And the other thing about that is that if they are using the muscles of their face incorrectly, not swallowing correctly, or mouth breathing, or tongues on the bottom of their palate, or as it should be at the top. If you're trying to work with a child that is, say, 4 or 5 on those those muscle-related functions, it's so much easier than trying to work with a child who is 10 or 12, who's had 10 or 12 years worth of habits, you know, of working with muscles. So the key really is in that first 6 years, you know, that's when a lot of the magic will happen. So I love your fix before 6. I think that's brilliant.
Yes. That's good to pay.
And it really, it resonates. It does resonate with a lot of parents when you start talking to them out there about these these things, because a lot of them are, a lot of these things they can see, you know, you start talking about crooked teeth, palates not being big enough, they can visually see that, oh, my child does have crooked teeth, they've got shark teeth. You know, you can talk about dark circles and why that happens, and they can visually see that. You can talk about a child hyperextended at night because they're trying to get breath in, or frequent wakes or bedwetting. These are things. And when you talk to parents, it kind of makes sense, you know, when you start learning about it and you look at skulls, you can go on and Google, you know, skulls from 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and they're visually, we can see with our own eyes, they look different. They're longer, they're more narrow. All this, this beautiful airway arches is my head here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all this is just smaller. And what that does, and when you describe it to parents as well, parents are clever. This stuff makes sense. When you talk about the palate, the top palate, you know, mandible, maxilla, when you talk about that being smaller, of course it connects. The roof of your mouth is the floor of your nose. Parents understand that when you talk about it. So of course you're going to have, it's the same bone. So if that area is narrow and not wide, you know, and high arched, then of course the nasal passages are going to be more narrow.
Yeah.
Means if you've got a kid with allergies out there, like so many people in Australia have allergies, the same amount of swelling on an airway, sorry, on a nasal passage that's wide is going to affect that child a lot less than that same amount of swelling on a passageway that is narrow. It makes sense. This stuff actually makes sense when you read about it.
Yes, and, I love and, that. It's just, yeah, it just makes sense. Yeah, you don't need any fancy degrees to understand.
That's right. Yeah, when you start learning about it, it's like, well, how did we not see this before? How did we not? And I love this is Dr. Shireen Lim's book, but I'm not sure if.
Oh, yes, I love that image. Yes.
You can see it. So that's the floor of the top jaw, and so is this. But this is showing a, which a lot of kids have, and my kid had it, that narrow high arch. And this is your nose space up here. I'm not sure, is this a video podcast? Okay, cool. And this is an airway, you know, at the top of a palate. So your top jaw that is nice and wide there. And just see all that, that's the top of the, that's the nose there. So it makes sense when you actually look at it as well. And you can
You're
open
like,
your own
mouth. Don't you want that oxygen for your kid? Yes.
Yeah. So this stuff, you know, like I said, parents are clever. It all makes sense. Of course, if you're not sleeping well, your immune system's not going to work as well. If you're not able to go into those deep sleep stages where a lot of that restorative work happens, then you're going to, you know, not function as well either. And I think it's really sleep disorder, breathing and airway issues, I think are really interesting in a lot of ways, and they actually affect so many systems out there in the body that they're really, and again, it makes sense when you start delving into it. But my hope for the future is that a lot of these big organizations out there that are dealing with different systems of the body start to shine a bit more of a spotlight onto that early intervention, kids' sleep, airway.
Yes.
For example, cardiac health, if you think of, and I know a lot of specialists know sleep apnea, there's a link between poor cardiac outcomes and sleep apnea. But it's just, you get higher blood pressure, you get the loosening of your cardiac fibers, all this sort of stuff. And a lot of these things you can fix in a child, and that will impact the outcomes of the adult. It's the same with ADHD. If you've got a child, and again, this makes sense when you think about it, if you've got a child that is chronically underslept, so they're not going through all their sleep stages that they need to, the light sleep stages and the deeper sleep stages. And if they're not going into those, then their body's going to flip into, their nervous system's going to flip into a sympathetic nervous system state, right? And that what that looks like in a child is that hyperactivity, that fight or flight. They're in fight or flight. They're not worried about their other systems, their executive functioning, their cognitive abilities, their social abilities, their physical growth abilities. Their body's just trying to survive, keep them alive. So ideally, when a child sleeps, they will consolidate. That's when they do all their learning consolidation. And they make sense of the world. So they think, okay, yep. I've gone to sleep. This is an ideal child that sleeps well. I'm integrating all the learning that I've done today. I am putting it all, the building blocks together. Yep, that makes sense. Building that neural pathway. Yep, making sense of the world. And then they get their next bit of learning, the next day or in the next couple of days. Then they go to sleep where their brains are 10 times more active at night than during the day. And they lay that learning down. Okay, that makes sense. Yep, that goes there. And all of a sudden, you're building this beautiful brick wall. I like to think of it of a world that makes sense, a sensory system that makes sense, a nervous system that makes sense, and that child is able to really thrive. Now, if you have a child that is starting to drop down into their sleep stages to do that, integrating that learning, that consolidating, all that stuff. And then the soft tissues of the mouth start to relax because they're going down into those sleep stages. They have to wake up because they have to breathe, of course. So boop, boop, out they go to the lighter stages again. And then they try again to go through their sleep cycles. We need a number of those per night to be able to be a healthy functioning human. So they try again and the same thing happens. It's all too small. So when the muscles relax, it blocks, and then of course their body is trying to survive, so it wakes them up. And they never get down into where they have to do that integration, consolidation, neural pathway stuff. So whilst I am certain that ADHD exists without sleep disorder breathing as well, certainly for our child, that was the cause of his ADHD symptoms. And now that we've got him a lot better air at night and better sleep, they've resolved those symptoms. So I think for a lot of these big organizations out there, it would be just amazing if some of the focus was shifted to this area, because it's really prevalent. And even mental health, as a mental health OT, I think if your system is on for so many years, if you're in that chronic sympathetic nervous system state where you're on, you're in fight or flight, they can measure the cortisone levels in a person that has sleep disorder breathing, and they're high, and that can equal a person that has anxiety then, because of course, if you're constantly feeling like you're in danger, that doesn't bode well for your mental health as an adult.
Yeah, he'll just burn right out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it all really makes a lot of sense. And it's the same thing having worked with people for years on their sensory issues and sensory processing disorders and things like that. Yes, you can make a lot of difference with sensory interventions and finding out what that person needs. But now there's no way I'd be working on sensory processing disorder with a kid or an adult without looking at the airway, because they're not sleeping well and they're not breathing well, then their body doesn't have the capacity to be able to interpret their senses properly. So you really want to you want to look at, I know you guys talk about root cause a lot, and you really want to shift your focus to there. And I'd love more OTs out there to be screening for sleep disorder breathing.
Yeah, I would
And
love that too.
yeah,
Yeah.
and GPs and ENTs
Love
and
to hear.
yeah, wouldn't it be great? Because then you don't have to be, an expert in this area, but you can refer on if you're doing a screener.
Yeah, just got a
Yeah.
screen. Yeah.
Yes. So no one's expecting somebody to be a professional to be all over every part of a human body, because it's impossible. But if a kid or an adult has these issues, if you're working on other systems in their body and ignoring airway and sleep, you're really missing a great opportunity to be able to help them.
And yeah, like how much is, of course, yeah, multifactorial, but how much is other stuff gonna stick without that foundation? Gotta have the breathing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. And one of my going back to things that make sense, one of my favorite quotes by Stephen Lin, Dr. Stephen Lin, he's in Australia, he's a holistic dentist, is, and I'm gonna
We
quote
got to
it.
get him on the podcast. Come on.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, cool. He says, I've got it written down here because I didn't want to misquote him. Kids today are 3 to 4 generations deep into a health condition that's accelerating. So I think that makes sense too. And I think kids that are born now are in this really interesting and frustrating time where, compared to many years ago, compared to generations before, they're a lot narrower, a lot smaller, a lot more pushed in, a lot thinner. So they're not getting the sleep and airway. I'm sorry, they're not getting the airway space that they used to. But also the people that, or the medical field that needs to help them with this smaller airway that they have because they're born in this generation is not quite here yet. So that evidence, whilst it's out there, it's not mainstream now. It's not like you're going to walk into your pediatrician and they're going to all of a sudden start screening this. Are there some out there that do? Yes, absolutely. But in general, your mainstream GPs, ENTs, pediatricians, medical field is not going to screen the whole airway. And by that I mean not just your adenoids, turbinates, and tonsils, but look at the mouth as a whole. Look at the tongue. Does it fit where it needs to fit? Is there a tongue tie? Look at the nasal passages, look at the posture of the child, look at the lungs as well. So as a lot of people in this space know, it's all very siloed still. People are not looking at the airway as a whole. And so I feel sorry for these kids, and I know I'm hoping by the next generation that this means that this information has made it to mainstream help. So we can kind of meet somewhere in the middle. Kids are getting smaller, and this information is coming, and it's really
Everyone
starting
has
to flow.
access. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's certainly on its way. It just hasn't hit the ground, I guess. So it's an interesting space for these kids to live in at the moment.
Yeah, generations deep, so Hopefully we can get the ball rolling. But I mean, I think it's rolling, but yeah.
I'm
So
excited for the future.
yes. We're doing it. We're moving the needle, I think.
Yes. Yes.
You could take me back a little bit in when you were kind of assembling your kind of airway team for your son. Like how did you find providers, and then how did you kind of, know they were the one, so to speak? Because I feel like I see a lot of parents getting really caught up, they don't know who to trust, they don't know what to look for, etc.
Yeah, for sure. Connecting for so there's 15-minute free Zooms was really helpful. They helped give me some ideas, and then I went straight for an airway focused orthodontist. And I just simply Googled that, and then I had a look at their websites. And I made sure that on the website, these orthodontists or dentists I was looking at were talking about, pardon me, airway, palate size, jaws, sleep. So there's some of the keywords that I wanted to read. And for parents, if you're not sure, maybe ask reception before you go in, before you waste your time. And just ask, are you guys looking at airway? Are you looking at palates? Are you looking at jaws? And the second thing would be, so a good place to start, I'd say, is an ENT to check out obstructions. And there's something to be said about whether or not you get obstructions out too. But for us, it was super duper helpful. You got to weigh up, have the adenoids, tonsils actually lost their immune function because they're so chronically inflamed now that they're just an obstruction instead of actually being part of the immune system. So that's a personal choice as per family. But so you want to get somebody like an ENT that's going to check out for actual obstructions and search for an airway orthodontist or dentist. That's what I did. And also look at a myofunctional therapist. I hadn't heard of that before. Before coming across that video from Dr. Marielli, I had no idea what that was. I am now one since then, which is quite funny.
I
But so they can help you check out, is there a tongue tie? Is there some muscle function issues going on with your child? And they're three really good places to start. So how I decided was just the wording that people used. Were they talking about airway? Were they talking about sleep? Were they talking about palate, tongue, all this sort of stuff, and not just talking about straightening teeth? So I was really looking for keywords. That's what helped me decide who to use. And were they listening as well? So, were they listening to my concerns? Were they using measurements? That's another big one. So you want to make sure that whoever's treating your child is having some sort of baseline measurements, able to relook at that again in 3 months' time and see if there's been any changes. And just someone that's, like I said, really listening to what your concerns are as a parent. But there are three really good places to start. It certainly doesn't make up the whole team. Unfortunately, it's a very complicated system.
And I do love having, the myofunctional therapist. A lot of times, they can be great with referrals or who need to go see
Yes.
next. Yeah, keeping it.
Yeah, because I understand the whole system. It's not just about your adenoids, it's not just about your nose or your breathing, it's about all of it. And the thing about that is as well, you can't just have one specialist looking after an airway child, unfortunately. You can have a child with as much expansion as you like, but if they've got a tongue tie that's holding that tongue down, they're still going to have issues. You know, you can go and get you can have the muscles of your tongue working beautifully, and you can have that tongue up. But if you don't have, if you, a kid's still got crazy allergies and they can't physically breathe through their nose, then you're no better off as well. So you can have your adenoids taken out and have all this beautiful airway at the back. But again, if you've got allergies that are not addressed in your nose, it's just not going to work. You can have a tongue that's super strong, but if you haven't got the actual space in that top jaw for that tongue to go up where it needs to go, then you're no better off either, or a little bit better off. So you really need, unfortunately, it is a complicated kind of area. It's called, you know, the craniofacial respiratory complex. It is complex. So just for parents to know that it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Even if I don't want it to overwhelm parents to think, oh my gosh, I'm gonna need, you know, ENT or my functional therapist, a chiropractor to help with the actual waking up the cranial nerves that have been asleep, or getting that posture right, or all these fabulous things that body worker or chiropractor can do. You know, an orthodontist or an airway dentist. So yes, it sounds like a lot of people that are going to become your army as an airway parent, but it's so worth it. It's so beyond worth it, because all these other issues that you may be having with your child, and putting your energy and your emotional resources into trying to fix these one by one or deal with them, go boom, go straight to the potential root cause, and they resolve themselves. You know, the shyness at the park that our kid used to have is resolved. Issues at school, resolved. Immunity, working on it.
Yeah, all
You
work
know,
progress. Yeah.
yeah, allergies pretty much resolved. Sensory issues resolved. Like, we're not at the end of our journey yet, absolutely, but far out. I cannot express enough to parents that it's worth a look in. And I say on my Instagram all the time, just rule it in or out. It's worth focusing some attention to it. Just rule it in or rule it out.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, definitely. I liked what you had said when we talked last time too about, like, you know, maybe your son's case might be more extreme than others, but yeah, for other kids too, even if it's just a little bit less, you know, sleep and breathing, like, and, you know, wanting them to reach their full potential. So yeah, definitely worth a rule in or out.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can, you know, maybe your kid is thriving, but they've just got those few little things. You know, they could be extra thriving, I guess, or just having to put in less work within themselves, because kids are really good at compensating and trying to deal with the load, you know, the lot that they have. So if you can relieve them of some of that burden, if they are being affected by airway or sleep issues, then why not? They might start to thrive in all these other ways that you just never thought was possible. So yeah, it's definitely worth a look in or a look out, you know, rule in or rule out. And I think another, you know, another suggestion for parents would be to, and I guess kind of like something I want to really relay to parents, is get a second or third opinion. If you don't feel heard, if your gut's telling you that a specialist is not understanding your issues, get a second or third opinion. You know, I wish that we had got a few more opinions. Even though we had seven specialists in a year, we eventually found our people that could help us. So don't be scared to keep looking. And yeah, and just also for the parents out there that have got these good outcomes, keep talking. The kids in the next generation need you to keep talking about, and parents really, I know parents are driving this, a lot of this airway information getting out there, because we've lived it, we've seen it, and also these, we, you know, these amazingly passionate people like you guys, and all these other sort of specialists out there, or airway people out there are trying to get the information out in any way they can. But there's parents out there too, and I really, you know, I implore you to keep talking about it, keep sharing your stories. And I meet many of you in Dr. Mark Levi's office and hear these amazing outcomes. So keep telling other parents about it, because the generations to come need us.
They really do. I love that. Yeah, so we'll definitely link your Instagram and everything in the show notes, so parents can connect with you as well. Well, at the end of the podcast, I know you've already dropped a lot of encouragement and advice to parents, but is there any final thoughts you'd want to leave them with, or also to the clinician side as well?
So my parents, yeah, I just, the parents again, keep talking about it. You had some good outcomes, keep chatting, get your second and third opinions. And clinicians, I would say for occupational therapists, which I am, come on over. This is exciting. This is a domain that can be ours. Sleep is something that OTs cover. It's a really exciting area. You know, you can get to the root cause of issues with a lot of kids, with that sensory stuff, with the ADHD stuff, with the physical stuff, immunity stuff, all that. You can really make a difference. So, you know, always happy to connect with OTs out there. This can be part of our toolbox. If you're not totally comfortable, you know, if you're really happy in whatever you're doing as an OT already, then I would suggest maybe just getting an airway screener. You can find them out there if you just look for them. I've got one as well on my Instagram. Just to screen a child for airway issues, and then refer on to someone that can help with that. And you're going to see if that is an issue for the child, you're going to see some really beautiful outcomes in your therapy if we can work on those issues with that child.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Claire. It was so great to have you on.
You're so welcome, and thank you guys for everything you do.
You can stay connected with the Children's Airway First Foundation by following us on Instagram, Facebook, X, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to the Airway First podcast on your favorite podcasting platform so you won't miss an upcoming episode. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for an upcoming show, shoot us a note via the contacts page on our website, or send us an email directly at info@childrensairwayfirst.org. Today's episode was written and directed by Rebecca St. James, video editing and promotion by Ryan Drawn, and guest outreach by Christy Bochinkian. And finally, thanks to all the parents and medical professionals out there that are working hard to help make the lives of kids around the globe just a little bit better. Take care, stay safe, and happy breathing, everyone.